maternity ward. Since the new mother, cross and tired, has gone to sleep early, he leaves the darkened room and takes the long hall to the nursery, past tiny bulbs along the wall, set just at cut-off distance, shadows crocheting them together, a milky blue expanse. The elevator goes up to the top, where people die, he knows, where men push muffled mops not to wake ears from dying, where room lights are turned off, maybe forever, waiting for the bright, blank burst of light that comes with death. Here, in a slumber of creation, the pulsing whites reflect all powers. Glass panels screen from him the soft handfuls of bodies, so recently part of another body, and still half dormant on their sterile trays, diapered amphibians panting gently, globose. Vapors and shadows flicker, thin terminal grandfathers vaporizing, new nebulae gathering slowly, a maze of motes. A nurse dreams through her graveyard shift schedule in this time marriage. Our flesh delivers ghosts. It's a little bit of a longer poem, and it's called No, and it's about watching another person on a long bus ride. Who will meet her? Sitting ahead of me, her face a crushed girl skin, her head rotating almost acceptably, as if she were just looking out west windows on the bus, then out east ones and back. A run of negatives? Has her world changed out and out? Or has she lived bound to some weird setup, the mule that's dragged the wheel till it can only circumscribe, and that a straight path must be led? What doctor sanctioned this furlough? Can she be circling alone? Her hair an edgeless haze, under the cotton shell a stance wand-like, almost airborne. She rises now and then compelled to seem to look out windows, her face unseeing, frets with her large dark purse and, at her feet, black plastic trash bag with twist tie. Within her trance she spotted free seats across from me, deserts a sleeping Mexican, taking her plastic bag to sit alone. Her garments flowered, her soles inside flat sandals, old rubber weathered to chapped rose. She takes off, twisted, wrapped. She opens the bag, peers in, cautiously shifting things, removing nothing. Arm elbow deep, like one engaged in calving. Takes out, can it be, more folded plastic bags, blistered with use? Not those. And something coarse and white? Dish towels? Change of underwear? Not that. She is alone, absorbed. She's in some way-off house, a mansion long devoid of lords, or a big empty room with towering windows. Even a small empty room, alone, so alone one wonders where she is going to. Who has room enough for that loneliness, that quiet? Yet, not where she is going, but where she came from. Now she slides out a worn, stag-handled paring knife, the thin blades longish. She drifts it out and puts it by, restores the bags and piece of cloth, fastens the twisted patiently, then moves back to the Mexican. By now he's taken over her seat too. She almost sits on him. He jumps awake, his look a reprimand. Remotely, excuse, then her being seems to vanish. Her head repeats its back and forth. The knife rides in the seat across from me in independent menace. I check the other passengers, the ones who turn and eye her anxiously for one in charge of her. Perhaps the Mexican's her keeper. He seems to feel no threat. Abruptly, she investigates her skirt, looks quickly backward to the seat she left, not rising, reaches back, arms stretching crazily till like a magnet it's pulled in the knife. She draws it to her lap, sits straight. That's done. Becomes again the metronome that drums no tune. No, no, no.